This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. We welcome you to the program. It is good to have you along today. As we talk about Human Trafficking Awareness Month, we're joined by Heather Schneider, the Health Systems Training Specialist when it comes to human trafficking prevention. She works with Transitions based in Lewisburg. Human trafficking is something she has been focused on now for more than a decade. She's our resident expert today on the topic, and we're glad you could join us, Heather. Let's begin just with some definitions of what we're talking about. What is human trafficking?
Victims of trafficking can come from all walks of life. And it doesn't matter whether you're a U.S. citizen, foreign national, young child, older adult. Human trafficking specifically is a crime where people profit from the exploitation of other people. Sex trafficking, or it can be labor trafficking. Now, we don't minimize labor trafficking. We talk briefly about that because of our agency and the nature of the services that we provide. We focus mostly on the commercial sexual exploitation. So sex trafficking occurs when one person manipulates another person into sex acts in exchange for anything of value. And that anything of value doesn't have to just be strictly money. It can be food. It can be shelter.
On this issue, as with so many, we tend to have preconceived notions of who the human trafficker is or who the victim is. Give us some idea of who's involved.
Well, and, you know, even looking in when you look in the news, you see socialites and former very wealthy people that have engaged in this activity. And the thing is, victims of trafficking, they can be at-risk populations. It's just like any other time when victims are targeted. A perpetrator or an offender will scope out and look for the person that they feel is going to be the easiest for them to manipulate. So in some cases, many cases, you have kids that are being targeted because an adult feels that it's very easy to manipulate the mind of a child. And especially when you have that child that has already gone through trauma, has already had situations in their lives where it causes them to be looking for things in all the wrong places, wanting to hear words of comfort and compassion and wanting to be a part of a family type environment. So these traffickers are able to really manipulate the minds of their victims by promising them false futures, you know, and living situations and conditions that never materialize.
Is this getting worse, or are we just more aware of what's happening? You know, why does it appear to be on the increase? Why are we hearing so much more about it?
Well, I think we are hearing more about it because people are wanting to be more educated, and we're having more conversations about this. We're educating people to understand that, especially in our area, we hear so many rumors and untruths about conspiracy theories and things like that, that we have a tendency to think, okay, that doesn't happen here because we're in small rural Pennsylvania and, you know, we're immune from that situation. It only happens in other countries and bigger cities. But what we see in our cases and in talking to law enforcement, we see that it's family members that are trafficking other family members for profit. So we have, especially with younger kids, they're being trafficked by family members because those family members want to profit either for an addiction or for an expensive way of living, that they want to break out of poverty. So we've got situations where, and when we talk about at-risk populations, we talk about children, youth, even adults who are homeless, children who are living in foster care. We talk about LGBTQ populations. These are sometimes kids that are already struggling with their sexuality and they have a family that's not very supportive or has even maybe kicked them out because they're not living the life, quote unquote, that the family wants them to live. We do see it with people of color. people who have already experienced physical or sexual abuse in the past, people struggling with self-esteem. And that's where we get into the case of, in many cases, younger girls will be approached by an individual who is a very charming, older, well, not so old, but even an older young man that is posing as maybe potential boyfriend material and promising them, you know, happily ever after. We have individuals who I mentioned before living in poverty and see this as a way to get out of that situation. Undocumented immigrants, migrant workers, people living with or witnessing addiction in their household. So, and we have individuals, you know, and here we go again, especially those with any types of intellectual or developmental disabilities are at risk.
What advice do you give to people who could be potential victims?
Well, the thing is to always be vigilant. And if something seems too good to be true, it usually is. If someone's promising you, but, you know, there again, it's easy for us on the outside looking at someone else's situation to say, oh, well, that was a red flag right away. I would have never done that. That's just, you know, that's just ridiculous. Who would have ever agreed to do that? But you have individuals that are already struggling in very dysfunctional families. And they have somebody come into their life that starts to tell them all the things they've ever wanted to hear about how important they are, how special they are. Maybe promising them a way out of that situation. And we've had individuals that one trafficker in the Commonwealth of PA claimed to be a school guidance counselor. And that's how he was gaining access to especially the kids that he ultimately ended up bringing into this life. And before the kids even realized what was happening, they figured it was already too late for them to get out. They figured nobody would believe them. They were being lied to. There were threats. These individuals, these traffickers, manipulate these victims often with tactics that might seem obvious, but when you're talking to an individual who is scared, frightened, has already experienced trauma, they're threatening to kill them or kill a loved one. They're threatening extortion. They tell them they have debt bondage, which is when they provide a place for them to live, they give them food, they give them clothes, they tell them that that's adding up to a debt that they have to work off. They're threatening deportation. They're withholding legal documents and telling that individual that they won't get those documents back unless they do what they're told to do. They're using drugs to manipulate the victim. They're isolating them from their family and friends, making promises of love and fame and fortune and things like that. And, you know, manipulation by traffickers is so effective that victims might not even realize that they're being exploited. They may believe that they are to blame for what's happening, or they have to do this to prove something to the trafficker. If it's a boyfriend type situation, the young girl might feel she has to do this to prove her love to this young man who's putting her in this position. So there's a lot of things going on where we as adults in our normal, healthy, prosperous jobs feel that we are professionals at what we do, and we're very good at what we do. Traffickers are professionals, extreme professionals at what they do. They know exactly who to reach out to. They know exactly what to say. They know exactly how to act, and they know exactly how to get the person to do what they want them to do without coming off as the bad guy. A lot of times you'll see your victims be very devoted to their traffickers in a sense where they feel that they owe it to their trafficker because they're not seeing them as the bad guy.
I recently saw some numbers that indicated Pennsylvania as the 9th worst state for this in the country. Why Pennsylvania? Any idea why we're so high on this list.
I wish I really had a definitive answer to that, other than we've got Philadelphia, we've got Pittsburgh, we're close to New Jersey. We have some major highways that are going through. You know, we as Transitions are a member of PASS 15, which is the Pennsylvania Alliance Against Trafficking of Humans. And we focus for our geographic region, we focus on Route 15. Now, things will be changing with that because we do realize that our understanding of our region is going to expand. So when we think of the main highways that are close to us, where victims could be transported from one destination to the next, we have Route 15, we have 80 south of us, we have 81, we have Harrisburg. We have a lot of hot spots that when you get on the National Human Trafficking Hotline, comes out of Washington, D.C., and it's through PolarisProject.org. And when you look at the map that Polaris has for signals that come for suspected trafficking calls, Pennsylvania has several locations up north, Lycoming County area surrounding that is one. Harrisburg is one. Philadelphia is a big one. Pittsburgh is a big one. And we have the Route 15 that cuts the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania dead center, north and south. And so when victims are coming out of New York, when they're traveling south, you know, there's a lot of highways, but ultimately they end up coming on one highway that travels through our three county service region. And unfortunately, I think we're really getting to the point where we're educating a lot of people in our Commonwealth to understand what the warning signs are, what to look for, what they might be seeing. And even in our three counties, we've had suspected activity where it's been investigated. We have had, in the past 3 years, we've had three in Union County that were arrested for buying sex, one arrested for selling. And we're one of the only counties in Pennsylvania, one of few counties in Pennsylvania, where more sex buyers were arrested in the last 3 years than those that were apprehended and accused of allegedly selling. And that's what happens. These individuals are the ones that are caught going into places and coming out of places. They're traffickers nowhere around. So the victim is usually the one that is first to be suspected and first arrested.
Can you give us some of the resources that are out there?
Well, you know, and for our region, there's of course our agency, which our agency, you can reach out through our 1-800 number, which is 1-800-850-7948. You can also private message through our Facebook page if you have questions or information. If you're looking to report, obviously you'd want to call 911 if it's an immediate emergency. You want to make sure that law enforcement, and especially if it's a child, and many times reports of sex trafficking involves children, and then that should be made as a child line suspected child abuse report also. And their number is 1-800-932-0313. And then wherever you are, you know, however you see this, if you're still not sure what the situation is, you can call the National Human Trafficking Hotline at 1-888-373-7888. They have a lot of different ways to report, too. You can text them, you can email them, you can chat with them, you can call them. So there's a lot of different ways to communicate through the National Human Trafficking Hotline.
Obviously, January is aimed at getting awareness out there, but how is awareness? I mean, do you still kind of find people that think of this as something that happens in the movies, but maybe you're not that aware. It's a real problem in, you know, in Pennsylvania and elsewhere.
You know, it is, and I think we're making great strides to get people to understand what human trafficking is and what it looks like in our area. And it's not necessarily like the movies, like you see in Taken and those types of shows. We have a lot of good network. Even the hour-long drama series sometimes will come out with shows that really are more true to what trafficking is and defines it much better than some of the sensationalized movies. I think we're becoming much more eager to have conversations about this because we realize we have children that are at risk. You know, every community has children that are at risk. And we need to be their voice. And many times these kids will get into situations that are no fault of their own, but feel that it is and feel that there's no way out and they're trapped. I think one of the things we have to understand is just the fact of being aware of how human trafficking presents in rural Pennsylvania. You need to really open your eyes and understand that it's not always the way we think of abduction and tying someone up and throwing them in a dark dungeon and selling them to wealthy individuals in other countries. I always start out almost every presentation I do with what it's a quote from D.H. Lawrence, and it says, "What the eye doesn't see and the mind doesn't know doesn't exist." And I think this is so well concealed in our area. Sometimes it can be happening right in our own communities, right under our noses. And we don't associate it with trafficking of a victim because we see it as a family situation that maybe something's not quite right. We just can't quite put our finger on it, but it doesn't seem like these kids are, you know, maybe allowed to come out and play in their backyard. And you see individuals coming in and out of the house at all hours of the day and night. And the kids maybe are allowed to go to school, but they can't participate in any extracurricular activities. They, you know, go to school, they come home from school. You never see them again. And when you do see them, things just don't seem quite right. We have red flags that include lack of access to maybe their driver's license, or they don't drive, or they are really still dependent even after they become older teenagers. They're still dependent on other people to take them places. They look like they have signs of malnourishment or even abuse. Branding is a big thing. We've seen some kids that have tattoos, and these kids aren't anxious to tell us the history or the story of their tattoo because it's a brand of ownership for the trafficker. You have maybe a family that has a history of sex trafficking. You have kids that are chronic runaways. To quote a corny country song, sometimes they're looking for love in all the wrong places, and they get themselves in a situation where they're thinking that the situation that they're leaving is worse than the situation that they're getting into. You know, maybe these kids are absent from school or coming to school dressed in the same clothes day after day. Maybe you see a change in their mood if you're around them, or their behaviors, or maybe their appearance goes from relatively moderate way of dressing to more elaborate and more showy. And they're starting to distance themselves from friends and family and go toward the people that are giving them at first all the things that they think dreams are made of, until things shift and then they realize they're in a situation where there's no way out for them.
Heather, I think this is one area where increasing awareness really does a lot of good. Just what we've talked about so far today seems to really take us a long way toward being aware of what's going on around us.
And a lot of times, you know, a lot of these kids that run away, that are looking for a better situation than what they're living in, they don't have a parent with a particular set of skills that are going to travel continents to, you know, bring them back home. Many of these kids that are recovered almost feel guilty for being recovered because they know that the people they've been exploited, the other kids that they've been victims, they've been exploited with, are still back there going through, that situation. So they almost feel guilty for being recovered. We talk so much about the red flags and the warning signs and, you know, the at-risk populations. And there's so much that we talk about what to look for. But many times then when an individual is recovered, we people go, well, then what happens now? And we're looking at situations where what survivors need. They need basics. They need food, housing, they need clothing, they need medical services. They need, above all, too, community support, crisis intervention, healthcare services other than the medical, meaning mental health, sexual assault trauma services. They need financial assistance. They need help getting their important documents back, their passport or the birth certificates or their driver's licenses, everything that's been taken from them to basically change their identity. So many of these victims are called by their work names or the names that the trafficker gives them. And then the long-term situations for all this is, you know, what do you do about jobs or public assistance, legal representation if they choose to pursue that avenue? You've got situations where almost all of these victims have been manipulated through drug use also, which makes them addicted. So now you've got substance abuse services that they need and victim advocacy services like ours. So this doesn't go away with the fact that, you know, someone has been recovered and is now back either with family or trying to come back into mainstream society. It's when you think of the trauma that the individuals that have been trafficked have suffered, it's overwhelming.
As we wrap up the program, we do want to remind our listeners we've been talking to Transitions Heather Schneider, who deals with human trafficking at the organization based in Lewisburg. Heather, you've been on this beat, so to speak, for more than a decade, and now you're working to bring awareness to others. At what point did it kind of hit home for you?
Being on call one particular weekend about 12 years ago, I received a phone call, and as the young woman was explaining to me how she got here, where she was, what was happening to her, what was expected of her, where she was going, the whole, you know, who, what, where, when, why's, I had to take a step back, and I call that my moment. That was my moment when I realized I was speaking to a victim who was being trafficked, and she was in a hotel, well, a motel less than 7 miles from my home. I realized I knew this was a real situation. I knew I had to be the voice or be one of the voices for those victims who couldn't get in front of crowds and people and tell individuals that this is an issue in our area and we need to really pay attention and we really need to address this.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.